You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
God gave me not 1 year, but 5 years. And he said, Verna, look at 5 years, 26 through 30. We are halfway through this decade. And there have been so much activity. The atmosphere has changed. And the movement has been swift. The changes really are too many to keep up with. I have a joyous heart. And remember when I gave the word the best of times and the worst of times? That's still a part of this decade, because I think I gave it at the beginning of this 10 years that we are in. And I said, God, you're giving everybody else words. Give me a description that you can give me the words out of that description. And he said, challenges and victories. The best of times, the worst of times. See, we get so caught up in the worst. We get caught up in the darkness. We get caught up in the negative. And the negative and the darkness slow us down. And some of you have gotten stuck and don't even know it. You're not moving. You're sitting there in the murk. You are sitting there complaining. And God said to me when I lost my husband, Verna, are you going to sit here? Like the lepers who, you know, were at the door. And there were some that just wanted to sit there and enjoy their little misery. It's almost like going to a misery party. Getting dressed up. Oh, I have something to really be sad about. You just don't know what I'm going through. My husband and I was married 62 years. I can't do this. And God laughed at me and said, you are right. You cannot do it. But you can do it in all things through me who will strengthen you. So through my crying, through my pity party, I'm in my 4-bedroom house by myself, walking through. Got my husband's picture all over the place. I go in my family room and say, hi, honey, how you doing? Hey, Brookings, I miss you. And I thought about David and Ziklag. When he came back from pursuing the enemies, everything was flattened. They had destroyed the homes. They took their wives and children. And you are looking at nothing. You went away. You went to work. You went on a trip. And the situation came up. And you just looked and said, I'm going to stay right here because this is so bad. My husband and I, we met as freshmen in college. So I really knew him 67 years. But I was married to him 62 years. And all I can do is say, don't say to someone, if you haven't lost a spouse, don't say, I know what you are going through. You don't know what I'm going through. There's no way you can know. You haven't experienced it. We are a set of experiences that we have walked through. I can tell someone, I know what you're talking about if you tell me you lost your husband, you lost your wife. But I'm here today after 16 months. Like David said, what am I supposed to do, Lord? I don't have anything. They took our wives. They took the children. They burned our home. They didn't leave us any food. And you think you got problems because your husband don't come to church with you. I went 27 years before my husband came with me. And I got a word that the latter half would be better than the beginning. And he traveled with me ministering and in the church serving the Lord 25 years together. What word have you gotten? So let me just tell you. You are blessed with victory. But some of you haven't stepped up to take it, to receive it, to operate it, to embrace it. Because you're still saying, I've been praying all these years. I don't see any changes. What about that song that said, he is working even though I don't see him. He is working even though I don't hear him. But he's working. And that's what I have experienced. So I'm going to let you into a little secret that I experienced. This is the word given to me from my experience these 16 months. A year of darkness. A year of sunshine, a year of waiting, a year, I hear some of you saying, I just don't know what to do. I've tried everything. You haven't tried everything. I'm still trying, being led by God, how to go through each day without my husband. Living in a house by myself. Remembering in my living with my memories. But let me tell you, losing a mother, a father, three siblings. But it was different. Losing a spouse, a part of me left. So I don't know what you're going through. You may be praying for your husband. You may be praying for your children to get saved. You may be praying for another job. You may be praying for that hurt that you haven't been able to release. But let me tell you, you cannot move forward unless you release that stuff. And say, Lord, it's in your hand. So I'm going to share with you today a year of challenges and victories. And what you need to go through this year, the next 5 years, and to embrace your life, that you will start walking rather than sitting complaining. And the reason I can talk about complaining, because I am a good complainer. Boy, can I throw a pity party. I have all the streamers, the cupcakes, the punch, the noise, movers. As Joyce Myers would say, I know how to throw a pity party. So none of you can outbeat me throwing a pity party. But I learned with losing my husband that I can't have any more pity parties. They take too much energy. They take too much time. And I must rather be enjoying the Lord and in his presence and reading his word and living today rather than spending my time at a pity party. So we are going to look at the things that you need in this year of challenges to get to the victories. Because this year, all you have to do, see, I haven't listened to the news in over a year now. God told me, he said, just turn the TV off. I had just bought 2 new TVs. And I asked my granddaughter in New York, I said, do you need a TV? No, Nana, I don't need a TV. I can't give them away. But I don't watch any news. Now, whatever God tells you, don't go home and say, oh, Pastor Vernon don't watch TV. I'm not going to watch TV. Listen to what the Lord is saying. My mind is much clearer. I have much more joy. My daughter will tell me, call and say, I think it's the news. She said, only listen to that on your phone. If that comes up, it's one of that is credible because you know it's all kind of stuff out there. And she said, Mama, read this. You need to hear this. You need to know it. That's the only news I get. You know Smith Wigglesworth? How many people know and heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He never read a paper. He never read nothing but the Bible. He didn't touch nothing. He didn't read no books, no newspaper. People were trying to give him newspaper. The Bible. And when he got saved, he didn't even know how to read. He taught himself in the Bible how to read. And he was one of the great warriors. He would walk into a morgue and slap a dead man and he would come back alive. Just slap him off the board. I call it the cooling board. That's what we would call it down. Where they lay them out before, you know, they do what they're supposed to do. But he had that kind of faith and all he read was the Bible. Now that point is, the point there is, what is God telling you to do? Not what he's telling Verna to do. You can't say, oh, he told Verna to do that, I'll do it. You have to trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but ask him, and he will answer you, direct your path. But he started off by saying, trust in the Lord. Lean not. Don't have any understanding about what to do. You acknowledge him and let him outline it and direct you through it. So let's look at 26, a year of challenges and victories. Because you're going to have the challenges, but start embracing and knowing that the victories are coming. I look at a challenge now and say, oh, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to have victory in this. I know it. So I don't just look at the problem and get stuck there. Because when you read the word and you're stuck, it's not going in. It's just flowing right off. Because your mind is so set on that issue. And I learned that. When I can release that, and then hear from God, it goes in and it's activated where I can move on it. I believe it. So the first thing you need that I experience, the mind of Christ. You can't have the mind of the world. You can't have the mind of your best friend. You can't have the mind of your coworker. You can't have the mind of what you heard on TV. It has to be protected by Christ, his word. That's where your governing, your guiding, and your direction is the mind of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we as Christians actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of Christ. It's in the word. He has given us his mind. Why are we trying to function with our mind? Why are we trying to solve things and see through things with our mind? Headaches, confusion, disappointment. Everything comes when you are trying to figure it out. But the word said he has given you the mind of Christ. So we have it. You've accepted him. You don't have to operate in your mind. So when my mind started going to, oh, poor Verna. Verna doesn't have a husband. He was healthy, had good report, no cholesterol, no high blood pressure medicine, no nothing, but he got dementia. I thought he would outlive me by years. But God, every time I go there, I said, Lord, I know you're with me because you say you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. So even though I'm crying, I am stressed. I know you are here. Because I remember that footprints in the sand. Everybody has seen that. I have it in my house, in the bathroom. And it talks about how God is walking with you. And then you look, and you only saw one set of footprints. And you say, God, where were you during this time? You weren't walking with me. He said, Verna, I was carrying you because you were too weak to walk. That's why it's only one set of prints. They were my footprints. I was doing the walking. I was carrying you. That said a lot to me. When you get to that point, God just takes over because you have acknowledged him. So the mind of Christ, we as Christians actually do have within us a portion of the mind of Christ. It would be great to think like God, wouldn't it? You realize how many mistakes you would not make? If you were thinking like God, if you were acknowledging him and asking him, you would almost be free of mistakes. It would be awesome to let the mind of Christ activate itself and work in you, not your mind. So, when the Spirit of God dwells within you, you have the mind of Christ. But some of us are sitting there with it, but we are not using it. And so everything that I'm not using, I pray now, Lord, show me where I can use it. It's in your promises. You have promised it to me. It's in your word. And you said your word would not go out and return void, but it will turn around and accomplish that it was sent out to get. So if I have that promise, why wouldn't I expect to have the mind of Christ to move through this? So what? I want another job. God, am I supposed to leave my job now? Is something else you want me? He kept me on a job 3 years that I just knew I was supposed to be leaving. Every job I bid it for. No, nope. Then God came to me one day. He said, now I'm going to move you. Said, bid for that job there. Walked in, got the job. It was his timing. See, we want things, and God wants to have them. But the timing is off. Don't you want God's timing? In the 78 snowstorm blizzard, I left work, and the snowflakes were big as my hand. And they had said on the company news site that it wouldn't get bad until after 7, 8 o'clock. And we were sitting in a meeting, all these glass windows. And I saw the flakes falling big as my hand. I said, it's 3:30. There's no way we are not going to get a blizzard before 8 o'clock. And I turned to my boss and I said, I'm going to see you later because I'm going to go home, pick up my kids from nursery, and I'm going to be in the house while you all are trying to get home. And he said, okay, Verna. You probably heard from God, right? It was like a joke. I said, yes, I have. I pulled into my driveway, let up the garage door, built a fire in the fireplace, got my kids in safe. By that time, the news was saying 128 is like a parking lot. And it was 5:30, and they were saying 7 and 8 o'clock. But when you're in tune to God, when you're acknowledging God, you expect God. Plus, God told me, I said, which way should I go, Route 1 or 128? He said, Route 1. 128 have nothing but X's off of it. Route 1 have stores. I went Route 1. 128 was like a parking lot. They were getting people out of the cars in helicopters. Just snowed on. He said, don't go 128. The people I left in that meeting, all of them end up 3 days at Polaroid because they couldn't get home. They were expecting to leave the meeting at 5:30 and get home. They were stuck for 3 days. The mind of Christ, acknowledging him, you can move through this year in any situation you are in. I don't care how long you've been praying for something. God didn't give you a time. Sidney Jacob usually say, don't give people times. You can give them the area of the time, but don't say Monday at 4 o'clock, this is gonna happen. And I stay away from that. Even if I really feel it's strong, I don't say it. Because I had good teaching for, I don't know how many of you know Sidney Jacobs, but she's international prophet to the world. And nations call her to tell them what is coming and what to do. So, the mind of Christ. Ask God. He has given you the mind. Ask him to activate it in you and willingly embrace in developing and using the mind of Christ. The second one is to increase your faith. The gift of faith is fine. But what we are going through in 26, you need Abraham kind of faith. Did you get me? You have to grow into that faith. You have to stretch that faith. My faith has been stretched because when I am at my worst and lonely, missing my husband, I said, Lord, you said you would never leave me. I just got to believe that. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to believe it. Saying it is easy. You can make yourself believe that you believe it and you don't believe it because you don't walk out in it. So now when I ask God, I say, God, I'm really looking for you to take me through this. I'm here by myself. I need you. You are my resources to get through this. Everyone else can give me good words, all of that. But God, you are here in the midnight hour. You are here early in the morning. My daughters love me, but they are at their home. I'm not going to call them at 3 o'clock in the morning. But guess what? When I wake up and can't go back to sleep, I say, oh, God, I need sleep. And you can put me in a place to sleep. And he'll tell me song. My daughter loaded my phone up with different songs. And I can listen to a couple of songs, and I've gone back to sleep. Because I asked God, what am I going to do? I can't lie here at 3 o'clock in the morning and don't go back to sleep. Acknowledging him, believing that his word said, if you ask in faith, it shall be done. So well, guess what? We must not be asking in faith because we still say, oh, please pray for me. For 3 months, you're asking for the same prayer. Why don't you get that prayer and say, I'm standing on it. God's word said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Why are you going to over and over every day question it? I have learned how to say it and let it be settled. So increase your faith to Abraham. Who would go and take that son up where God told him to go and sacrifice his son? Would you have had that kind of faith? I don't know if I would have. I said, oh, but this is Sonya, my firstborn. God, are you sure? God, I just can't do that. And Abraham just packed up and was on his way. That's why I said Abraham kind of faith. That's what you're going to need for what we are going to incur, what we are going to experience this year. But remember, not just the challenges, but victory is there. No challenge has to go without turning into a victory. Not one, unless you lay it down and say, well, that's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen because you drop your faith right there with it. And endurance is number three. Let us run with endurance. The race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus as you go through experiencing this. At your worst, feeling your worst, but endurance God has given you to run and to trust him in that. Build up your endurance. I used to say, oh, God, know how much is in my way. I just can't take that. I can't. I had an air about it. I can't go through that. I can't take that. Boy, have I called those things back. I said, God, I'm sorry. Because he said, my word says, you are more than a conqueror. Through who, Verna? Me. Because I'm the one strengthening you to go through it. And you can and will do everything through me, not through yourself. So endurance, build it up. Don't just cry about you're in it. But God, you told me to run this race because you are here with me. You are the author and you're the finisher of my faith. And that's your word. So I'm going to believe it or drop out of the race. You don't have any other choice. You either believe it or you give up and say, well, that's not for me. See, I'm not one of those people. I think if anybody else can do it, I can do it. It may be harder. I might have to use a different plan. But I feel that if God has said it, then I can do it. So I moved to that level of believing God. And wisdom. Wisdom is number four. Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is better than jewels. Who was that? Solomon? That God asked him what he wanted? I probably would have said an airplane, a big house, a lot of money in the bank, a summer home that I can go on the beach. I would have named all those things. Solomon said wisdom. Guess what? With God, wisdom, you had all that stuff and more. But we are looking at the wrong things. But like it said, put him first and these other things will be added to you. That's the first verse that my mother drilled in me. She said, I want you to get an education. I'm sending you to college. But Verna, if it was either college or an education, she said, I'm at college or God, accepting him, she said, I will tell you to forget that college exists and serve God because God can bring the college because he's first. And then after that, all these other things. So I have college if I have God because he's my major resource. And when I learned that, it was like, that's why he said put him first. Because with him being first, you got all the other stuff. He owns it all. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's all of that. So if you've accepted him, you got the whole package. You don't have to look and get one slice. You can have the whole pie. And getting past P-A-S-S. The past, P-A-S-T. You got to get through the past. Say, get in the past to pass to the present. And so if you step out into the new, you got to let all that stuff that you've been carrying. And the reason some of us can't move any further or make the next steps or go to the next level, because we're trying to get through a camel's eye with this big old back sack on our back. Do you know I saw the eye of a camel when I went to Jerusalem? And, you know, I always thought of that was the description of it, a needle and trying to get through it. But it's actually a closed place, real narrow, and it's short. So the camel have to get down on his knees and crawl through very careful, but he can't have too much baggage. He will never get through that eye. And on the other side of that eye is all kinds of stuff you want to see, you want to experience. But he was saying, you cannot pass through it with all this other stuff you're trying to carry. You can't even go in your house and you have 6 shopping bags, another 8 shopping bags, and then shopping bags around your neck and in your back. You hit it, something gonna fall off. You can't go through that opening with all that baggage. So if you get nothing else today, lay the baggage down. Get rid of it. And said, I'm gonna walk through here. I'm gonna get through this opening because I know what God has for me on the other side. And then number 6 is no more delay. Now, what I didn't do, I forgot to do. I have a decree from each one of those. The first one, the mind of Christ, I want everybody to repeat and say, I have the mind of Christ, in my inner man. The mind of Christ reveal all things I need to know. I decree those 2 things. And I receive the mind of Christ. Increase your faith. This decree. I decree that God takes pleasure in me. And he can bring forth all things that pleases him. You are decreeing these things. I want you to go back and write them down. I didn't write them out to pass out. But look at that decree and keep saying it over and over to grow in that area. You need those 6 areas to go through. And in endurance, it says, run the race that's set before me. And the decree for wisdom, I decree that my life is rich with godly wisdom, because I have wisdom and search for it with all of my heart. And the one getting past the past, I decree that I experience an open heaven everywhere I go and in whatever I do. And no more delay. I decree that my heart is steadfast and fixed. And I do not fear when trouble comes. Now, all those decrees, go back and write them out and decree it over and over, where it will highlight your walk as you walk through 2026. Jeremiah 29:11 said, "For I know the plans I have for you." Boy, do I hold on to this. God said, "I know the plans I have for you, Vern, to give you future and hope." That's the Life Application Translation. That's what God promised in Jeremiah 29 and 11. That's his promise. Can you believe today that these are God's promises? He didn't just write them to say, "Well, I left them something. Yeah, it's back there somewhere." Search out the word, receive it, and then walk in it. That's how you're going to get through 2026. One scripture I think about all the time, this is at the lowest, and I mentioned it earlier, that David was so distraught because everything he saw had diminished. So I don't think there's anyone in here. I didn't lose my husband, my children. They took my house, lose my job. Have no food, no money. That's not me. I lost my husband. Why am I going to act like all these other things happen? Why am I going to highlight that so strong that I can't move out of that? And Bridge, if you want to move and move through 26 in the next 5 years, you're going to have to do things differently. You can't do things the way you have been doing them. Why? Because we are in a different time. The atmosphere is different. The climate is different. Everything has changed. And we want to stay as if it's like it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We have to know the change, identify it, accept it, and then walk with God as he directs us through it. I can't get through anything, but with him I can. And I believe that. So I go to him and I ask him. I said, "God, this is where I am right now. I believe that my niece I'm praying for, she's going to accept the Lord. I'm going to stay on it until the last breath leave my body. I don't care what I see, how it looks, what it sounds like. All I keep saying is that she will serve the Lord one day. And I'm going to stay in prayer to her. I'm not dropping anything that I am praying for. I'm going to increase my faith where I can see it materialize and I can walk in it. Rather than, oh, it just gets worse. It's darker. It's not going to happen." Yes, it is going to happen. Because God told me what I had to do in order for it to be materialized, for it to come into existence. I can't just say it and walk away because I went back home and there were things that I didn't like. Or I went on my job. And I'm ready to leave. You better not leave unless God tell you to leave. I stayed on a job 3 years. Kept saying, "When, God, when? Where, God, where? How are you going to do it?" And I finally said, "I give up. It's in your hands." And when I got that next job, it was like 3 steps up from where I was, where I was looking at the next step. There is no way you can get on your own what God can get for you. It's impossible because he's the major resource. And so I want you to look at 26 not as a dark, dreary year. Not as a all-glorious, happy, good time year. But we are going to have challenges. But along with those challenges, see the victory. Let it materialize in your spirit, in your mind. You see yourself. I saw myself living by myself. It was a reality. I wasn't packing up and going living with my kids. I had a house. So why did I need to leave? If God can keep me with my kids, he can keep me by myself. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And so I want the bridge to embrace this year, seeking God as to what he has on your plate for you to do. If you are busy listening to God, following his directions, you don't have time to be sad. You don't have time to be lonely. I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. I'm just by myself. But I don't have to let loneliness consume me. Lord, I just thank you because as we enter this year, there are going to be so many unexpected things that you can't even expect that you are going to face. There are situations that you are going to observe that you will say, God, I didn't know that would ever happen. But you are going to see it in a different light. You know why? Because you are going to stretch your faith. You are going to adopt and operate in the mind of Christ. You are going to ask for his wisdom like Solomon did. You are going to stretch your faith. The word said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. To me, that meant I can believe to a point, but when things get so bad, I kind of waver. So God, in my unbelief, let me believe. In the worst of times, let me believe.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.